Anyone knows a sloka about illumination? So, Russian special forces.
We can organize some light if you want.
Candle.
Right, we can have light in here, but the internet, no broadcast.
No.
All right, but still, we're assembled. While you're getting the candles, I'll say something. Reminds me of Guru Maharaj told us the story of the Alwars. And they're in total darkness, and they're having some Harikatha. Right, so they can't even see each other, but they can hear each other. So one of them says to the other, he goes, I feel the presence of a force. And the second one says, it has to have a shield. I don't need it. If you need it.
It's like here.
Yeah, it's just my eyes are sensitive. So one person says, there's three. And these are divine associates of Ramanujacharya, highest type of Vaishnava. And they're totally in the dark, engaged in Harikatha. And someone, I feel the presence of a force. Right. We know in India a lot of stealing goes on when it's dark. The lights go out in India, the thieves come out. Especially in Calcutta, but probably everywhere. Anywhere. In New York, when the lights went out, people, went crazy. New York City, once the lights went out, and just people lost all civility. But anyway, one of them says, I feel the presence of the fourth. And the second man says, I also feel it. And the third one said, it is the Lord himself. So it's very beautiful. There is a famous verse, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayena cha tatra tishtami narada yad gayanti madbhakta. Where interestingly, the Lord Saint Narada goes, I'm not in Vaikuntha. And we say, no, wait, that's your world. How can the Lord say he's not in Vaikuntha? That's the whole idea. Go to Vaikuntha. He said, no, I'm not in Vaikuntha. Where else am I not? Yoginam hridayena cha. I'm not in the hearts of the yogis. No, with the yogis, they meditate on the Paramatma in the heart. And you go, no, I'm not there. I'm not in Vaikuntha. I'm not in the hearts of the yogis. Where am I? Yad gatra gayanti madbhakta. Wherever my devotees are singing my glories, that's where I am. So those three were engaged in Harikatha, Krishna Katha, and one of them could perceive, like there's a fourth person here. He's a little worried. Second person said, I also feel the presence of a fourth person. And the third one, maybe a little higher realized, he said, it is the Lord himself. He's been drawn to this discussion. Sometimes with Srila Guru Maharaj, Gurudev told me this as well. He said, because sometimes when there were only maybe two, three or something, it looked like Gurudev wasn't paying attention 100%. And he told me, he said, yes, I may be distracted with some matters, and now I'm paraphrasing a little bit to put it in modern English, but he said the equivalent of, but when Guru Maharaj is in the zone, like when there's some special flow, then you see me. He said, there are some things he's representing to you, I've heard many times, it's appropriate that those things, you know. He said, but if some special flow comes to him, then you will see me with full and rapt attention. And even Srila Guru Maharaj himself said, when he was praising Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, that when he was, you know, a young brahmachari at the Mat, and we've all been through this, especially those of us who were in ISKCON, but like, you're so tired. And you're like chanting japa, falling asleep. You go to the class, you're falling asleep. We have people falling asleep, standing up. You know, I remember one of the last service I had was to mop the temple floor. And then so many mornings, devotees came at 4 o'clock. I was like giving dandavats with the mop bucket. I never made it to the ashram. I just gave dandavats and never got up. So, and everyone knows, like, there's a reading, and people, like, you know, falling asleep. And one man even said to Guru Maharaj, he said, I had insomnia and could not sleep. Very difficult. He says, but I went to your ISKCON temple to the Bhagavatam class and I got sleep. And it was mentioned somewhere, actually, I think Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj said that Nidra Devi had been taking shelter of Kumbhakarna in the Ramayana. But when Kumbhakarna awoke after so many yugas, Nidra Devi needed a place to go. And Ramachandra gave her the blessing, like, wherever there is a Bhagavad recitation, you can be there. So when there's Bhagavad recitation, there's always someone like Nidra Devi is taking shelter of them. But so Guru Maharaj, sometimes he'd see, you know, Gorindu Brahmachari, that's Gurudev's Brahmachari name, like falling asleep or... And Guru Maharaj, he's very sweet and affectionate, and I've never met anyone, you know, with the exception of Gurudev, more affectionate. But Guru Maharaj is also stern. He's a disciplinarian. He doesn't tolerate people like us. No. Like he said once about getting up in the morning, and he said, because people weren't always doing that, and he said, previously, we would give them prasadam and show them the door. He said, but you have come from so far. You know. Anyway, so he'd say, Gorindu. What did I just say? And Gurudev would then start repeating what he'd said. Gurudev was like, oh. Like, even though he appeared to be fine, he was following inside, he was getting it. So, Prahlad in the womb of his mother, Kayadu, Narada, I mean, she's a pregnant lady. She's falling asleep, and Narada's giving instructions. But Prahlad Maharaj is hearing inside. And also it was the case with Abhimanyu. Because sometimes Prahlad's extraordinary, so is Abhimanyu, but sometimes they say, if the mother falls asleep, then the child can't hear, because it's going through her ears, it's complicated. But you get the idea. Well, anyway, how important is sound? Naam Sankirtan Kalo Paramo Upai. It's mentioned that in the Kali Yuga, you get everything from sounds. And interestingly, we've always thought of sound as like the most subtle thing, that's where all the spiritual substance is. And that's true in this plane. But Guru Maharaj said, interestingly, it's the grossest representation of in the spiritual world. The finest there is aroma, but that's another subject. But so sound, The Vedas themselves, their other name is Shruti. Means what is heard. What else is the spiritual path called? Shrota Panta. Like the path of hearing. The famous verse and the Bhagavatam echoed in Charitamritam, Tam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja Ase Shrutekshita Pato Nanunata Pungsam. It's very beautiful. It says, Shrutekshita. Ikshita, Aiksha means seeing. Shruta, Shrutekshita, the combination of those two words, means seeing through hearing. That's how you see spiritually. What we see with the eyes is deceiving. And that can maybe bring us to the what we wanted to discuss, this Harapanchami, which is such a beautiful pastime of Mahaprabhu and his devotees. But I used to think like, are they seeing this? Or, you know, because if you look at what's described there, they're seeing that, but with what eyes, in what way is this manifesting? So I asked Gopal before he left, because he was there a lot near, I said, what do they do on this day there? But like, you know, they have some puja, some, I mean, it's not like you go out in the road and see something, like on Rath Yatra. So it's really, and we see this through hearing Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. Remember, reading the books is hearing. It's really Shravanam. I mean, it's a combination of Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam, actually. So it's very powerful. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Satam Prasangam Amavirya Sangvido Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Katha. Rasayan, it's like you hear in Ayurveda sometimes, Brahmi Rasayan, you know, means like medicine, but like has the word rasa in it, like rasa medicine for the ear and the heart, mind, soul. That's why it's so important to hear every day. But our reading is a type of hearing, actually. That's why we read aloud, the pot, called pot. We read aloud, one person reading, everyone hearing, and then there can be some smarnam, some remembrance. So, I joined in San Francisco, where our deity was Jagannath Subhadra Balabhadra. We had little Radha Krishna, but big Jagannath, and they have the festival every year. I just thought it was our good fortune, you know. I joined in May of 1971. Around June, like now, June, July, Prabhupada came. He hadn't been in America in a year, and there he was, and it was Rath Yatra time. So it was a really inconceivable good fortune. And then over the years, as I would read this and Chaitanya Charitamritam, I found, I would always think, wow, it's so beautiful, that section. And what leads up to it, the Beda Kirtan pastimes, when they all assemble there, just the whole event. Shivananda Sen bringing the 200 Mahabhagavatas from Bengal and all their delightful divine eccentrism and, you know, and, but then when the description is there, it's just so beautiful and unparalleled. And then it occurred to me, really, in the last couple of years, I started realizing, this is not just like one of the many pastimes, and this is one. But in one sense, this is the central pastime of Mahaprabhu and his devotees as a group. You can't find another one that every year they faithfully assemble for this and engage in this pastime. So it's not just one of many, but it is central. And therefore, of extreme importance to understand it properly, what's going on there. Because also I thought, before Mahaprabhu, what would be the, we know it was going on for hundreds of years, thousands of years. What was their idea of the people? And of course, that'll be according to their realization and everything, but even in the broadcast this year on YouTube, the English commentator, he said, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they began the annual observance of cleansing the Gundicha temple. Like, he pointed that out, that was introduced by Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Maybe there was some perfunctory cleaning up to that point, but again, like, when Mahaprabhu does something, it's this joyous, ecstatic pastime. But here, it appears just, it is full of joy and ecstasy. It's so colorful, exotic, and Jagannath and Subhadra Balabhadra and all the kirtan and the singing and dancing. You think, oh, it's a very happy festival. And then you think, well, why would a million people come for that? Well, in India, it has something to do with like mukti, liberation, also. We know people, religious motives, their religiosity is sometimes their ulterior motives. Like here, when the men were putting the chakra on top of the temple, they knew, like, this is very auspicious. They were sensing that. And then they were thinking, like, maybe it would show up, like, you know, in their bank account, that auspiciousness. So people in India, they go for like mukti, for liberation, for blessings in their lives. And we understand from our Guru Varga, when you analyze that, that is a lower type of religiosity. It's not promoted by the Bhagavatam. In fact, it's rejected by the Bhagavatam. Koitava dharma, not being proper. Like approaching Krishna to get something from him, to get so close. Like they had a saying, if you meet with a king, you should ask for something only a king can give. Right? You don't meet with the king and then ask for some trivial thing. You should ask, so what is it that Krishna can give? Not mere mukti. Because mukti dadati karchit nidya smana bhakti yom. He gives mukti easily. It's devotion that is the rare thing. Because he's purchased by devotion. So to come so close, but anyway, we're not here to disparage those. But just to give some context, that so when Mahaprabhu goes before Jagannath, this is, you know, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. Krishna, Aparam Kashyapi Pranayi Janabhajashukutuki, the curiosity was awakened in him what it is like to see through her eyes, Krishna. And what it is like with her heart to feel separation from Krishna. That, and to taste what she's tasting. This is the most extraordinary thing imaginable. This is not described anywhere in any religious tradition, anything like this. Think about that. You can find some parallels, some similarities on a generic level, but just the notion that God Himself would want to take the position of a devotee, and not just any devotee, but the supreme devotee, and experience her heart. That's just unthinkable, unimaginable, and inconceivably beautiful. And it tells us two things. One is that, like, how incredible is Krishna to feel that way? Because we're still, or the lingering Judeo-Christian God, who's he's in a bad mood, he's angry, everyone's afraid of him, he's unapproachable, he's in the periphery, he's in the sky, we don't know where he is. So, but here we see how loving and affectionate and sweet is Krishna. That he's touched. And that is essentially the principle of Krishna consciousness, that you can touch the heart of God. Not just like touch God, touch the heart of God. Radharani's captured him wholesale. But through devotion, that a finite soul can touch Krishna's heart is inconceivable. So he descends as Mahaprabhu, and we know that, as Gurudev would say, what is his tasting matter? He finds particularly what her heart experiences in separation, that is the greatest depth of heart, yielding the highest quality and highest quantity of Krishna Prem. Mahabhav, only experienced by her. And that's captured him. And so when he's before Jagannath, Krishna, Dwarka Krishna, the zenith point of separation, and Radharani wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan, pulling him, as it were, with the ropes of love and affection, and singing and dancing like Guru Maharaj's Radharani, the Gandharva, and Gandharvika means Radharani who's singing and dancing and chanting Krishna, stealing Krishna. Hare Moromo, to steal the mind of Krishna, to capture him. How beautiful is her singing, dancing, gesturing, feminine posturing, etc. So, and many things are going on there. We discussed that. But then this day is the Panchami, Hara Panchami, also known as Lakshmi Vijay, that it was on a plea of visiting his hometown in the company of his brother and sister, that Goddess Lakshmi Devi gave approval. But after a few days, she's become a little suspicious. Because he's thinking, what do they have there? Why would you want to go there? It's like a garden. I mean, fruits, flowers, rural country scene. And here we have an unparalleled opulence, jeweled thrones, jeweled peacock windows and crystals and all, Vaikuntha, Dwaraka type opulence. So she's become a little suspicious of that. And she feels neglected, slighted, and a particular aspect of her feminine nature has come out. So she assembles her group, and on a palanquin, she's dressed very, as only Lakshmi Devi can dress. In the most opulent way imaginable, carried on a palanquin with singers and dancers, and a big, what do you call it? Entourage. She's going to get Jagannath, Dwarka Krishna. And when she arrives there, there's Jagannath's team. And they're, you know, like, halt! You know, and she's like, no, 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 this, I want to talk to Jagannath right now. And then her, and you know, they're saying, well, your call is important to us. But no one can, we're busy, sir, you know, no one can come right now. And she's saying, no, 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 I need to see Jagannath right now. And her group, they're chastising Jagannath's people, cursing at them. They come, they're handcuffing them, binding them, beating them with sticks in the submission. And they're like, okay, okay, but, you know, wait one day. So when Mahaprabhu and his devotees are observing these divine pastimes, we're told they're on this, they're seeing this. Again, how they're seeing this is another subject, but there's, we have no doubt they're seeing this. They're seeing something very substantial, divine, and wonderful. But while they're, we're told they're laughing and get like covering their mouths, trying not to be like heard, but they think this is really funny in a divinely delightful way. And so at this moment, Mahaprabhu, he's thinking, I've never seen anything like this. And what does he get from the goddess of fortune? And he asks Rup Damodar to explain her mood. And then we begin to understand something about how it's thematically consistent with why Mahaprabhu descended here. Right? This is what he's come to relish. Right? And who, Srup Damodar, please explain this to me. On the one hand, we can think, what? Explain. You know, what doesn't he know? Right? In the most generic sense, God is omniscient. How can the, who is omniscient, and not just your, you know, everyday average omniscient, but the supreme, right? He's inquiring. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Because why? He can't, although he's omniscient and knows everything, and he's omnipotent, etc., he cannot estimate the love that's in Radharani's heart. It can't be quantified. And he wants to understand it. Who is in a better position to explain it than Swarup Damodar, who is Lalita Sakhi? And we would say, well, then two people would be the best in Mahaprabhu's pastime, Gadadhar Pandit, Radharani absent, the Bama Bhav, but Lalita Sakhi. And as Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, when he put him under the care of Srup Damodar, and Raghunath Das wanted some direct instruction, which he gave, he said, but by the way, the reason I put you under the care of Srup Damodar is not, you know, it shouldn't be interpreted as some lack of intimacy or, he's saying, but what I don't know, he knows fully. And then you're like, how is that possible? Here's how it is possible. For Krishna, the heart of Radharani is terra incognita. It's an unknown terrain, like divine terrain of the highest quality, Mahabhava Swarupini Radha Thakurani. And when she is lost in divine madness, particularly of separation from Krishna, and as sometimes exhibited, expressed in the Brahmar Gita, who is beside her maintaining her composure is Lalita Sakhi. So when Radharani is lost in divine madness, sometimes coming out of that, she doesn't even know on a certain level what happened. Lalita Sakhi knows. And she was there, and who is the expert, saying, oh, this, she's so lost in this particular sentiment, this mood is coming from her heart, I will sing this song. And that song will either amplify that sentiment or give some relief to the anguish of separation that the heart is expressing. So it's Srup Damodar who knows all these things. And in this sense, what Mahaprabhu doesn't know or is in the process of experiencing, Srup Damodar knows fully. So for Mahaprabhu, and underscore the position of the Sakhis, their importance. So Lalita Sakhi, who's even Sri Rupa's superior, Mahaprabhu was saying, you explain what's going on. What are we seeing here? But really, he wants to hear what is called rasa vishesh, some comparative analysis. And we might think, like, well, is that really important? Or isn't that some kind of academic, analytical thing? I mean, I understand somewhere Sri Rupa's doing that, and there's books. But just because we're told not to go into the details of that at present, it's beyond our qualification. But it's there for a variety of reasons. One is just hearing it is so tasteful. Mahaprabhu, he wants to hear this comparative analysis. It will give him inconceivable, unlimited, ecstatic joy. Just hearing Srup Damodar compare the qualities and distinctions of different gopis. Mahaprabhu was very eager to hear that, and so were all the devotees. But that said, this section there of that rasa vishesh, we can't discuss. You can read it though. We read it when we're in Parayan, continuous reading. But it's not for us to discuss. But happily, we can read what is there, bow our heads, and understand that such a plane exists and how wonderful it is. But on the periphery, before it and after it, Mahaprabhu asked the question, like, why could Lakshmi Devi not go to Vrindavan from the beginning? Like, why isn't he taking her with him? It's a very simple question, but very profound. So I said, so why not? Because then we wouldn't have this problem of her, after a few days, becoming angry, Jagannath, you come out right now. Why not take her from the beginning? And then Srup Damodar says something that's mind-blowing. He said, Lakshmi Devi does not have the adhikar to enter Vrindavan. What? The goddess of fortune, with all her wealth, cannot purchase admission into that plane. Remember when Mahaprabhu was in South India And with Venkatabhata, during this time, the Chaturmasya, and not traveling, staying with him. Why did they not travel? Because of the rain. And every day they're having so much Krishna Katha, happily. But when one day Mahaprabhu said, I have a question. Why? Because he is a Sri Vaishnava. Then, believing in the supremacy of Vishnu and seeing Krishna in a secondary position. Avatar, etc. Why is your Lakshmi want to have rasa with my Krishna? That's all he said to start. And Venkatabhata first thing, well, taking it to Krishna's like an expansion of Vishnu, right? Said, well, that's for rasa pastimes. There's the Krishna avatar, and that's his department, he handles that. And so naturally, if that sort of aspiration arises in her heart, then it's not appropriate within the Vishnu context. So in the Krishna, like that, Mahaprabhu saying, oh, that's excellent answer. Like Vishnu, Krishna, same, but different. He said, that's a really good answer, but one point that remains unclear is, but why isn't she given entrance? And Venkata's like pausing to think. And not only that, but we see others are given entrance, like the Dandakaranya Rishis, the Vedastutis, the Yajnasitas, and the gopis do not express similar aspirations toward Vishnu. They're not trying to get his association. This puzzles me. Then Venkatabhata is now sufficiently bewildered. And Mahaprabhu says a similar thing. She does not have the adhikar to enter Vrindavan. And as explained, she wanted to enter as Lakshmi Devi with her aishwarya, her opulence. Like here, she's coming on the throne. The Ratna Singhasana, jeweled throne. But you can only enter Vrindavan. Gopi Bhav, Gopi Deho. Heart of a gopi, form of a gopi. Not some other form, not another type of heart, another type of form. Gopi Bhav, Gopi Deho, both. And so, and Mahaprabhu quoted the wives of Kaliya. When they say, Sparsha, Bikara, Yudbansana, Sri Lavana, Chirakapa, Vihayaka, Mam, Sujitam, Vidabhita. That how their husband, Kaliya, before he was an offensive aparadi, then that padaraja, the dust of the lotus feet that is aspired to by so many, including Lakshmi Devi, he can't get Krishna's lotus feet off of his head. Right. Begins, kasyapi kasyanu babosha chadeva vidmahe tabangri renu sparashadikara Yadvanchana Sri Lalanacharatapo Vihayakamam Suchitam Suchiram Suchitam Vidam Brita. What others want, he can't remove Krishna's lotus feet from his. And now he is covered in Padaraja. How did that happen? And what does he Vihayakamam Suchiram Dhita Brita? And Lakshmi Devi, and the Tapovan, she engaged in austerities for many lifetimes to achieve this position. And then, of course, Mahaprabhu says, but don't think offensively about Lakshmi Devi. She also has her place in Vrindavan in another way, in other ways. And also we hear in Brahma Sangita about those Brajagopis themselves, how are they described? Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sam Brahma Sevyamam. Lakshmi Sahasra, hundreds and thousands, millions and billions of Lakshmis, gopis. Again, but what Gurudev said, a simple way of understanding is like spiritual mathematics. And Vaikuntha, one Lakshmi for one Narayan. Beautiful and wonderful thing. And Goloka, hundreds of thousands, millions and billions of Lakshmis, gopis, for one Krishna. That's different. So, Swarup Damodar says, yes, but this is very peculiar behavior on her part, because normally we see if the lover girl is neglected, slighted by her beloved, then she like lets herself go. She's like, becomes morose. And then she's like writing on the floor with her fingers. She's lost all interest in everything. She's very unhappy. But here, what does she do? She dresses up very nicely, puts on all these jewels and gets everyone together and said, let's go, singing and dancing and making a big procession to reclaim Jagannath, like angry moods. And you think, so that's a peculiar sentiment we're seeing here. We don't see that generally. That's when Mahaprabhu said, well, what different types of sentiments are there? Then he goes in this elaborate description of all the different types of gopis there are, always culminating in praise of Srimati Radharani, the supreme Brajagopi. Remember, Radharani in Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Vista Birjeva Nijarupataya Kalavi. The gopis, the queens of Dwaraka, the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha are her, in essence, expansions. Saraswati Thakur said, Jivas and Madhura Rasa are part of the halo of Radharani, her Anga Jyoti. So really, it's all her. There's who she is. She alone counsels everyone else, but everyone else is an extension of her anyway. That's to the degree that she's serving and pleasing Krishna. So when it culminates in praise of Radharani, it comes back to why Mahaprabhu came. So how happy he is to hear that. Seeing this, Srivas Thakur is there amongst all the devotees are hearing this, and they're very happy to hear Swarup Damodar explain all these things. But then Srivas Thakur, to play with him and like push his button, so to speak, you know, get him to come out, you know, he said, but I mean, really, what do they have in Vrindavan compared to Vaikuntha? What? He's saying, you know, she's on the Ratna Singhasan, the jeweled Singhasan. They have unparalleled opulence in Vaikuntha. What do they have in Vrindavan? Some like river, flowers, fruits, cows, some milk products, you know, trees. See, that's nothing compared to what's in Vaikuntha. And now it's like Swarup Damodar is awakening. He has to say, and Mahaprabhu is saying, oh, Srivas, Be careful. He said, I think some Aishwarya-bhav has come upon you. Aishwarya means, you know, opulence and the majestic aspect of divinity. He said, I think the Aishwarya-bhav of the Ishwara, you know, it was like overwhelmed you. And be careful what you say in front of Swarup Damodar. He's saying, because Aishwarya, he doesn't even know what that means. That's what Mahaprabhu says. So he's playing along too, in a sense. And then Swarup Damodar comes out and says, it's not that I don't know what opulence means. I think Srivas, maybe it's temporary insanity. You've lost your mind. You've forgotten a few things that I shall now remind you of. And that's what they want to hear. And that's why he said those things. And he says, the combined opulence of Dwaraka and Vaikuntha is not a drop of what is in Vrindavan. And you could think, well, that's hyperbole, it's exaggeration, whatever, but Kaviraj Goswami is a good way to understand this. Like, when you take sugarcane juice and you start concentrating it, cooking it down, you get molasses, gore, it goes further, and at last it becomes like rock crystal, rock candy. So you have one little rock candy that is this vast juice, sweet juice has been concentrated into one crystal. So he's saying, in that way, all of the opulence of Vaikuntha and Dwaraka combined is like a drop in Goloka, in the plain where the Braja Gopis are. And then he said, have you forgotten? Didn't you get your copy of the Brahma Sanghita? Mahaprabhu was circulating, you didn't get a copy? Make sure he gets a copy of the Brahma Sanghita. Because what does it say there? Sriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusho Kalpaturu Bhumis Chintamani Toyam Amritam Kataganam Natagamanam Priya Bhangshi Saki. I guess I forget the rest, but saying, what is the nature of that place? Where the Kanta Kanta, the lovers of Krishna are? The trees are Kalpavriksha. Yes, it's a very beautiful rural setting, like a village that's like, what is it? Like 50 kilometers wide, like is its size. Right. So, but within that one part of its soil is the Vaikuntha and Dwaraka worlds, and one drop of it. And they, what is that? Where everything is in, like in human-like perspective, but within one part of that soil, the whole Vaikuntha world is accommodated. It's not like Goloka's here, Vaikuntha's over here, the material world's over there. Not like that. It's the ultimate plane. And the trees are Kalpavriksha. Yes, it's like a garden, a beautiful rural environment. Trees are Kalpavriksha. Kamadenu, the cows, and what is the water there? Toyam Amritam. The water is nectar. Right? And the soil, the bhumi, the land, is made out of Chintamani. Like Prabhupada used to say, Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha lakshavriteshu surabhi abhi palyantam lakshmi sahasrasatasam brahmasevimanam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So you can think about it. The water there is nectar. The soil, the earth is made out of Chintamani gems. And the cows are Kamadeno, fulfilling all desires for service. How the devotees want to serve Krishna. And then he quotes Karanamritam. Chintamani Sharana Bhushana Manganam Sringara Pushpa Taravas Taravas Suranam Brindani Cheti Sukasindur Hovi Bhutna Brindavanam Rajadanam Nanu Kamadenu Brindani Cheti Sukasindur Aho Vibhuti. Sukasindu means an ocean of happiness. Aho Vibhuti means like, what opulence is there? So that land we just described with the Chintamani gems, are the soil is comprised of them. The Braja Gopis take Chintamani gems, like we make flower islands, they make anklets, like jewelry that women wear on their wrist or their ankles. They take Chintamani gems. One Chintamani gem has more opulence the whole of Vaikuntha and Dwarka. One. And these girls, they sit there, put one, two, they string them and make and wear them on their ankles. But they're, what are they like? Going to say, half civilized, silly jungle girls. That's their posing. They have more opulence. There's more opulence on the ankle of a Braja Gopi than the whole Vaikuntha Dwaraka world. Then Srivas Thakur became ecstatic, started dancing, and just. But he had to tease Swarup Damodar to bring that out. And all Mahaprabhu and all the devotees were so happy. Then they start singing and dancing. And something very extraordinary happens, that Nityananda Prabhu is off in the, and he looks and he sees that Mahaprabhu, how happy did this make him? How ecstatic that he's actually not only internally heart of Radharani, but he's actually taken the form of Radharani and is dancing. And Nityananda Prabhu, seeing that, he's so amazed, he keeps his distance. Because if he comes near, if Mahaprabhu, if he sees Nityananda, he will leave that and come out. So Nityananda keeps some distance, and he's seeing Mahaprabhu is showing the divine form of Murti, of Srimati Radharani. And so what does he do? He begins offering prayers. So how beautiful are these pastimes? And how fortunate we are, by the grace of our Guru Varga, their gifts, only in time do we begin to know something. Guru Maharaj said, like the children who have an inheritance, but you're very young, and your father left you like billions and trillions, but you're a child, you don't know. You know, like, that he was wealthy, there's something there, but the extent of his wealth will only become known to you as you grow, develop, and evolve. So it's all there in front of us, but according to one's capacity to appreciate, as Guru Maharaj says, to dive deep in reality. But of what we have had a glimpse of by their grace, we're also, it makes us so happy, and to know such a bright future and prospect awaits us. So this pastime is so incredibly sweet and revealing. Hare Krishna. Hare Panchami. Ki Jai, Sri Lakshmi Vijay, Ki Jai. We didn't get to say anything last night because of power failure. But Guru Maharaj said, these past, like we'll sing in the song, Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Kori Lo Prakash, they're going on eternally. And he said, and it's like a current. Said, so a soul like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur with this capacity? Well, first he said, if you take a flower and you toss it into the current, you're on the bank, you throw it in the current, it gradually goes away from you. Right? You see it going off. Right? Said, but if you move with the current, it remains in view. He's saying, so this, what we're hearing here is a particular type of current. In the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he keeps pace with that current. It's always within view. He is like live stream, real time, live streaming Leela for such devotees. We're not talking about something that happened 500 years ago. This is going on eternally. And by faithful hearing, Kaviraj Goswami repeatedly imploring the readers to give a faithful hearing to Charitamritam, sometimes by the grace of Guru and Vaishnava, some glimpse of the living nature of that pastime is revealed to the aspiring servitors and giving them some excitement and their aspiration. And we pray for that. Very good.